This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the United States, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Good to be back with you.
Pretty busy Thursday so far. Everybody's been looking out for those CPI numbers, the latest inflation, of course. The market's up, stocks have risen after the final inflation reading before next week's Federal Reserve meeting, with most people seeming that the interest rate cut is definitely going ahead. Nick, what did you get from this CPI number? Obviously, it hasn't really affected the view about the interest rate cut, but what did come through from it?
Yeah, Johnny, it's interesting. As you mentioned, a lot of eyes were on the CPI report this week, as it always is, but especially with the softness we've had in labor statistics recently, with the poorer than expected NFP report, also the big revisions, and yesterday's producer price index, which year over year came down, I think it was 2.6%, and forecast was for 3.3%. So you have had a come down in inflation from yesterday's number going into the CPI print. So people were wondering, okay, where's inflation at? Came in line with expectations on the consumer front, 2.9% compared to the forecast at 2.9%. So this is up from the prior month, 2.7 jumped up to 2.9%. So I think it's fair to say inflation is rising. We have seen a consistent rise in inflation from those lows several months back. And so we have in the U.S. this very challenging dynamic, as suggested even by Jerome Powell in his Jackson Hole symposium speech. He mentioned that this was sort of a tricky circumstance, having sticky inflation and a labor market that does need some attention, made even more so evident by the unemployment claims that we saw this week. And in my personal opinion, this actually took the center stage in terms of stealing the show away, because the unemployment claims number dropped at the same time as the consumer price index year over year. But it was a shocker. 263,000 unemployment claims in the weekless jobless claims compared to forecasts of just 235,000. That is a sharp uptick in claims and definitely worth paying attention to. We had been kind of in this downward trend in unemployment claims, and then it started to rise here. And now for the first time in a while, we're actually seeing a noticeable shock or spike in unemployment claims. Could this lead to further deterioration in the labor market? I think it's just evidence of what we've already kind of been seeing, which is most of our indicators suggesting weakness in the labor market. NFP was soft. ADP numbers were soft. JOLTS job openings were soft. Jobless claims last week were soft, and this week very soft with the spike up in claims. So we have this interesting dynamic right in front of us where you have sticky inflation and jobs data that is cooling. And so that poses sort of a similar risk that we've talked about for a while on the podcast to the UK, that stagflation issue of sticky inflation or that stagflation concern, I should say, if inflation were to spike significantly from here in tandem with a slowing jobs data point. You know, it's very interesting, and I don't want to derail too far, but look at long-term interest rates globally, the UK, the US, Japan, all these places, you can see they're still elevated, which shows that the bond market still wonders, at least this is the way I'm reading it, they're still wondering, are we still going to see sticky prices, inflation globally, alongside slowing economic data, which is a pretty bleak outlook in my view in terms of the inflation plus slowing economic data. Doesn't mean we have to enter into a grand recession, but I think it's fair to say that there is a contraction or at least a slowdown in economic data in the U.S. specifically.
Of course, the rate is above the Fed's 2% target, but we're all very confident the Fed will cut rates. Is there any chance, and we discussed this, I think, last week, of the percentile in terms of a 50 basis point cut, or is that just a pipe dream? Because I think it was around about 12% last time we spoke about this last week. What's the betting on a 50 basis points? I suppose after those inflation figures today, that's even less likely, I guess. Kenny, what's your view?
Okay, Johnny. Well, as you mentioned, there is a chance of a half point cut. It's interesting, this meeting that's coming up is fully priced for a rate cut. But after the inflation report today, we're not seeing really much of a change. It's about an 89% chance of a quarter point cut and about 11% at a half point cut. But keep in mind that a week ago, the chances of a half point cut were at zero. So as Nick mentioned, the very weak non-farm payrolls has really changed the equation. just writing about that today, I was thinking that if the Fed were to cut by half a point, which I think is very unlikely because they haven't done anything since December, I'm wondering if that would really send a very negative message to the markets, perhaps showing that they're very concerned about the economy and needing some kind of shock therapy. I was wondering if Nick might, what he thinks about that. Although there is a chance of a half point cut, and we're seeing it in the financial headlines, I really wonder if it's a viable option.
Yeah, and just to double up on that 50 basis point cut, actually, how interesting would it be if 1 year from the previous September 50 basis point cut that we got last year, we got it again? And I believe I'm correct on that, unless I'm missing the month, but I believe that's right. It was somewhere before the elections, people were up in arms about that. But is there the possibility of a 50 basis point cut? I think it's there, but with a rise in inflation, I think that the Fed is going to probably also worry that if they cut by 50 basis points into that environment, that it could signal some worry about where the labor market is, sort of signaling perhaps to the market that they think they're behind the data there. You know, actually, what's kind of interesting, Kenny, this is just my thoughts on it. I actually think the Fed should cut by 50 basis points, but I don't think that's what they'll do. I think they are a little bit behind it, but they don't want to signal that they think they're behind it. It's like this game of antics almost. But my personal opinion is I think that they are, as Johnny mentioned, rates above inflation. I think they're sufficiently restrictive, and we are seeing pretty good evidence that the labor market is showing signs that it could use some assistance. So my opinion, again, for what it's worth, is I think they should be cutting interest rates, maybe by 50 basis points. But again, I think they'll probably just do 25.
I mean, do you think it's a bit of a political hot potato as well, guys? Because obviously we know that President Trump has put Jay Powell under immense pressure to cut rates. It's been going on, this war of words between the two of them, for months now. If they were to cut by 50, do you think they might get accused of bowing down to El Presidente?
That's a good point too, Johnny. I do think that, you know, there's always going to be people who throw politics into the mix of it. But I think at any moment, Powell could kind of just lean into, look, the data suggests this. So if that is what they genuinely think is the right move, then you know, you would only hope that they do what they genuinely think is the right move. So we'll see. But I do think that there's still concerns about inflation that are worth keeping an eye on too. 2.9%. I mean, that's you know, and multiple months of rising inflation data points are also of concern to the Fed as well.
Meanwhile, Kenny, we've seen the European Central Bank today keep its main rate on hold as expected. That's actually following a much more aggressive campaign of cuts than the Federal Reserve or indeed the Bank of England. But that wasn't a surprise, was it, what the ECB did today?
That's correct, Johnny. It really was not a surprise. Widely expected by the markets that the ECB would hold their key deposit rate at 2%, which is exactly what they did. And we've been receiving signals from the ECB that there are no rush to lower rates. And it's very possible that the easing cycle could be over. On the other hand, inflation is falling, which is good news because it's within their target. But there is the concern now that they could actually undershoot the 2% target, which would again raise pressure for them to lower rates because of lower inflation. And again, there's the uncertainty over the U.S. tariffs. The newest development, or the newest twist perhaps, is the political turmoil in France with the government falling. So in today's decision, the ECB was careful not to really give any clues about any future decisions. I think what is perhaps obvious is that they will be looking at things from a data-dependent perspective, especially growth and inflations. Rate decisions will continue to be data-dependent. And perhaps we won't see any more rate cuts until 2026. But the ECB is in a, I'd say, in a pretty good spot. There is some better economic data coming out of Germany. And so there really is no pressure on them to lower rates in the next few months. So we could see them continue to maintain rates for the next few months until early 2026.
Okay, guys, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.